So over the next four Sundays, we are following a discipleship course called Practicing the Way, set up by John Mark Comer. And the course explores nine discipleship practices. But the one on which we're going to focus over the next four Sundays, as you probably guessed from the reading today, is Sabbath. And in our talks, we're going to be drawing on the video material which is available on the Practicing the Way website. And I've popped the website address here for you at the top of this sheet for anyone who wants to dig a little bit deeper. And I'll give it a real plug. There is some fantastic stuff there in terms of resources, videos, and discipleship help. Within this Sabbath section of Practicing the Way, which we're going to be going through, we find four aspects of Sabbath, which are stop, rest, delight, and worship. Now, I'll just say those again. Stop, rest, delight, and worship. Practicing the Way is what it says on the tin. It's about practicing stuff, doing stuff, not just listening to me rabbiting on for a few minutes and then going home and forgetting all about it till next Sunday. So at the end of this talk, there are some questions for you to reflect on, and also the link to the website. So this week we look at stop, and I'm going to start by reading the passage again. Note the repetition in the passage. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the Sabbath day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day, and he hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work he had done in creation. Now, the Bible right through is absolutely clear about the need for Sabbath. God starts by modelling it in this first book of the Bible, and he commands it in the second, in the book of Exodus. We find the people of Israel have been liberated from Egypt, led into the desert, and are camped at the foot of Mount Sinai. And the Lord gives Moses his plans for the laws and practices which are to shape their culture. In Exodus 20, verse 8, we read this: remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. Sabbath was a big deal, and there was an intense penalty for neglecting it. It is actually in this passage the longest of all the commandments, just as important as not lying, stealing, killing. And this was an absolute game changer for the Israelites. You know, for generations there had been no rest for the enslaved Israelites. Toiling for their Egyptian masters, their value lay only in their productivity. But nowadays, it's the one commandment, I'm afraid, that some of us are actually proud of breaking, busyness being a sign of importance or social status. By New Testament times, unfortunately, a very highly legalistic approach to the Sabbath had evolved, and religious leaders had instituted a stifling range of restrictions about exactly what you could and could not do on the Sabbath, which became a great burden rather than a delight. There were rules about what sort of knot you could tie There were rules and debates about whether the seeds could be removed from fruit. In Mark 7, Jesus is criticized by the Pharisees when his hungry disciples pick and eat grain on the Sabbath. And he rebukes the Pharisees, reminding them that the Sabbath is intended as a blessing and benefit, not as a rigid set of rules to be followed blindly. His words in verse 27 put it in a nutshell. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. But he in no way diminishes the importance of Sabbath. It was made for man because man really, really needs it. So what on earth does this mean for us today? Well, even in our non-stop, frenetic, 24/7 culture, I think the need for Sabbath is still in our DNA. The marketing companies know this. In adverts, we see the concept of the longed-for Sabbath being marketed. The tranquil scene by the swimming pool. The man lounging on the sofa with his dog. But you don't need the spa day or the bathrobe. The Bible calls us to simply stop. And if we do not stop, there are consequences. After the French Revolution in 1793, the government attempted to increase production by abolishing rest on Sundays. The result? Well, production plummeted and there was a rash of suicides. A medical study quoted in the video which I watched references a study of a devout Christian community which really practiced Sabbath, and they found that the members of that community lived considerably longer than average. But Sabbath has been abolished by our secular culture. Sunday is now, unlike in my childhood, a day like any other. Go, go, go. And when we lose this rhythm of work and rest, we lose part of our humanity. Our bodies and our souls become deeply tired. We find it harder to love, to be tolerant, to produce good fruit. We were not created to live 24/7. And I think we must be deeply countercultural in this regard. Eugene Peterson says this, and I love this quotation: Sabbath is the time to set aside to do nothing so that we can receive everything. To set aside our anxious attempts to make ourselves useful. To set aside our tense restlessness. To set aside our media-satiated boredom. Sabbath is the time to receive silence and let it deepen into gratitude. And these words are echoed by the author John Ortberg, who speaks about the effect of our frantically paced society on the soul. He says this: for many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. We will just skim our lives instead of actually living them. Now, I know that some of us have to work on Sunday, and I know that when you have young children or caring responsibilities, Sunday is as busy as other days. But perhaps if this is the case, it is useful to think of Sabbath as a verb. Can you find a space to Sabbath during your week intentionally? An afternoon, an hour early in the morning, a walk without your mobile phone. You know, I was struck by the story of the mother of John and Charles Wesley, Susanna Wesley, a great heroine of faith. Susanna Wesley had 17 children, of whom 10 survived. She homeschooled her children, and she lived at a time when she would not have had many servants to do things for her. So a frenetically busy daily schedule. And yet Susanna Wesley used to take a little Sabbath by pulling her apron over her head to pray. And her children knew that when Mum had the apron over the head, she was not to be disturbed. So I reckon if Susanna Wesley, under those circumstances, could do it, maybe so can I. In keeping with the theme of this talk, I would like to give you, this morning, a couple of minutes to stop, to sit in stillness, and I invite you to meditate on the verse at the top of the page from Psalm 23, and just think about those questions. And then after a couple of minutes, in silence, we will close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we come to you with our busyness and our weariness. Show us in the week ahead how to stop, to find Sabbath rest, to stop striving, and to rediscover our delight in you. Amen.